Anything else? Amen, honey. Amen. 1 Kings 15, when you found that, go ahead and be turning to 2 Samuel 11. It'll save you a minute or two. And then I guess that's where we'll be building our way back to 1 Kings 15. If you found it, you can stay in the text in 1 Kings 15, and then we'll flip right back over there to 2 Samuel 11 and 12. Amen. Many of you said you enjoyed the message this morning. Amen. I pray you got some help from it. Amen. My desire is not to make anyone feel guilty of what they've done or of their past, but only to warn us that we do not commit some grave sin, that even though God forgives us, and I understand that God has chose to forget our sin, and please understand, when we go to the judgment seat, God's not going to bring up our sin. He's going to judge us for our works done in our body, whether they be good or evil. I don't want anyone to get the picture that I'm trying to make you held accountable for sin. But even the Holy Ghost was mindful of the great sin that David committed over the matter of Uriah the Hittite. And don't get to a place where God even has to remind you of how you failed Him. God help us. 1 Kings 15, we'll just read, let's read all five of them again. Now in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat reigned Abijam over Judah. 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maacah, and the daughter of Abishalom. And he walked in the sins of his father, which he had done before him, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God as the heart of David his father. And we made reference that, please note here, that God is calling David's heart perfect, complete, a man after God's own heart. Yeah. Nevertheless, for David's sake, did the Lord his God give him a lamp in Jerusalem to set up his son after him to establish Jerusalem. Because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only the matter of Uriah the Hittite. Father, thank you now for the red word. I thank you for the privilege, God, it was to stand this morning. And God, I pray now that you would enlighten my mind, and God, fill me with your Spirit again, and preach through me, God, that I may be a help and encouragement to your sheep. I pray the Word of God may be thundered out tonight, God, to help us, Lord, in our walk, that we may walk in your paths and your precepts. We may live in your commandments all the days of our life, God, and when failure comes, and God, may we find forgiveness, and Lord, may we not wallow in the sin, God, or try to hide the evilness that we've done. Oh, that it scars us or mars our life, Lord, that we have to be reminded of the great mistake that we've made. I pray you add your blessing to the preached word now. God, give you people good ears to hear and a heart that's receptive to the word of God. And we'll thank you and praise you for it now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. As you're turning back to 2 Samuel chapter number 11, I'll read verse 5 again. Because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only the matter of Uriah the Hittite. God had called David here in verse number 3, perfect or complete. We've seen him as the man after God's own heart, is the apple of God's eye. And for the most part, we understand that the sin with Bathsheba and over this matter of Uriah the Hittite was not the only sin that David ever committed. That would be foolishness to think, even though we even have Scripture to say that there are others. We spoke of some of them this morning. But the main thought is that we're all going to sin.
Amen.
We're going to make mistakes. God help us not to make something so great that here we find that even the Holy Ghost here and in Matthew chapter number 1 and verse number 6, it still reminded of Uriah the Hittite inside the life of David. This morning, 2 Samuel chapter number 11, we begin preaching on, you'll never live it down. You'll never, I mean, it's, hey, you can do good, you can straighten back up, you can clean up. We can say, and we do say, we will talk more about tonight, David was forgiven. God cleansed him, removed that iniquity, that trespass, that transgression from his life, covered his sin with the blood of the Lamb. But nonetheless, the Holy Ghost himself said, save for the matter of Uriah the Hittite. It just seemed like it kept lingering around. And can I say, even when you get out of sin, once you've been there, there'll be a lot of people never forget what you did. Amen. We spoke, number one, this morning about the mistake. And the mistake consisted when it started with the time off in chapter number 11. David should have been fighting the battle with the kings, but he took a little time off. Then we've seen the thoughtless obscenity. How that Bathsheba was out there stark naked, out there on the rooftop washing herself in the sight of the king, that he may see her that way and fall into that temptuous lust. We've seen lastly this morning that the temptation offered, Bathsheba was asked to go. She could have said no. Look up here, young people. There'll be some temptations offered in your life, and you can still say no. Nancy Reagan said it, bless God, so we can. Just say no. Say amen. Amen. We look this morning at the mistake. I want to say number two tonight. I'd like to continue in chapter number 11 and look at the misconduct. The misconduct, I believe, we just to rehash what we've said, started with leisure. Amen. I believe in leisure, bless God. They consider golf leisure, so leisure is of the Lord. Amen. You like that or not, bless God, I believe I'll just go ahead and like it. Amen. But it does not, I cannot let my leisure overtake my service and my duty when it comes to serving God. Now, don't find that on the golf course on Sunday. Amen. It would be very rare. I'd say in 13 years, I'd say maybe just one or two times, just a small handful of times, you didn't find me on a golf course on a Wednesday. Very rare. Not going to say it hadn't happened, but you ain't going to find me one on a Sunday. Are you following me? You're not going to, when I'm supposed to be at soul winning on Monday night at 7 o'clock, me and the boys used to meet, several preachers we'd meet every Monday morning. We'd eat breakfast and play golf near about all day. Sometimes me, Buck Jason, Buck Jeffrey would play till time to be here at 7. Hey, man, you don't have to like that, but I like it too. I miss it, bless God. What I'm trying to say, but when it came time to be at the house of God, take part in my services in serving God, it's time to pack up the leisure and get on about the business of serving God. Amen. I seen here his misconduct was started with leisure. Then it fallen on by his lust. Amen. He could have. He can't help what he's seen. Wives, just hold on a minute now. You can't. Your husband can't help if he sees something. Some God blessed Bathsheba, Jezebel, throwing it all over the place. Bless your heart, though, man. Listen to this. You don't have to keep staring at it. You don't have to keep looking. He could have went back in the house and pulled the blinds closed and made up his mind, regardless of what's out there, I'm not going out there on that porch again. Say amen. Amen. You don't have to lust. God made it clear in Matthew chapter number 5, to lust after a woman is the same as already commit adultery with her in his heart. Amen. His is a guilty from the moment that he couldn't quit looking. And I say this, it's better not to look at all. Amen. Hey, you can't help what you see, but you don't have to look at it. Y'all get that in the morning. Amen. So we've seen his leisure in his misconduct. We've seen his lust, but then we see the line here. It says in verse number 4 that he lay with her. There is the act of the sin. Not sure if this was enough for the Holy Ghost to keep bringing it up. I don't know if it had to go to the place where he had Uriah killed. I'm not sure. But I'm telling you, good neighbor, God frowns on adultery. Amen. Amen. Hey, God despises adultery. He looks at adultery like idolatry. He calls idolatry spiritual adultery. Amen. God wants us to be faithful to our spouse. I'm trying to go somewhere if God will let me. Amen. In his misconduct, watch it now. Let me say there is I got four things here. Notice the son conceived. I hope I don't have to read all this story, and y'all just let me just preach a little bit. Might get a couple points in if we do that. The son conceived. Let me say it like this. Be sure your sin will find you out. He thought he could lay with her and get away with it. David wasn't looking for another wife. He was looking for something for the while. He brought her in for just a little while. You with me? Brought her in. Headman thought he's just going to have his way and they could have their passion at night. She'd go back home to Uriah. He can stay there at the house with his wives and everything be all right. It would be just between them and the Lord. A lot of people think they can sin. It's just between them and God. Listen to me, friend. Your misconduct will affect more than just you. Misconduct will affect you. It'll affect your family. It might affect your next door neighbor's family. It'll affect the church house. It'll affect the pulpit. It'll affect the service with God. It'll affect the name of the church. Misconduct does more than just mess you up. The son was conceived not so that God would bless them with the child. Ah, but their sin should be revealed. We'll not hide it from God. Notice at this time there's no confession. No, there's no repentance. Are you listening? They're not guilty. They don't feel a bit bad about it. You say, "Oh, preach, I believe they did." I'm going to get a little bit in the future. Chapter 12, verse 6. Amen. Verse 6, he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing because he had no pity. David didn't know it, but he's talking about himself. He had no pity about it. There was not one little bit of repentance whatsoever. He thought he could deal foolishly with the things of God and just sweep it up underneath the rug. As long as nobody else finds out, it'd be okay. Amen. There's the son conceived. How about that? Verse 5, the woman conceived. And sent and told David, said, "I am with child." Now in verse 6 down through 13, we won't read them, but let me say this. There's the son conceived, but there's the soldier deceived. The soldier here is Uriah. He's just being active in his service. David calls him in from the battle and says, "Well, I'll tell you what, won't you just go rest with your wife tonight?" His idea was to put him in the bed with his wife and he could cover up his sin for him. David's just going to have some illegitimate child, pretend like he didn't know anything about it. How wicked can a heart get? God's man after God's own heart, made the mistake of taking a little time off. Now he don't care about his family, don't care about his children to be. He's ready to push them off on somebody else and pretend like it didn't happen. He said, sent forth, got it. Went there and said, I just slept in the street. I'm not sleeping at home when the men's at battle. Uriah, bless God, doing good. Amen. And then he gets him drunk, thinking, well, if I get him drunk, surely he'll go sleep with his wife. And again, he didn't sleep with his wife. David continuously trying in a deceptive way by befriending him, acting like they're his buddies. Hey, man. Let me tell you something, men, women, you better watch out for your friends. They're the ones usually take your spouse. Hey, man. You don't have to like this. I'm preaching right now. That's why God called me to preach, because he knew you wouldn't say it. Amen. Amen. You'll know who's after your spouse, probably the one that's running around with them all the time. Amen. Amen. That buddy system don't always work.
That's right.
Bless your little hearts. Some of y'all nervous now. Amen. There was the deception he tried to place on Uriah. Tried to pretend to be friends, tried to act like they were buddies. And all the while he's sleeping with his wife, he's got her pregnant, he's outside the will of God, and trying to act like he's his best friend in the whole world.
Right.
Knew this lady, grew up with my wife, and they were dear friends in their childhood, 10 years. And as you grow older, you know, sometimes you grow apart, but you're still friends. A little later in life, I guess they were, I don't know, getting close to about 30. Amen. Most of y'all think she's still about 30, so we'll just leave it at that.
Right.
Amen. We got a call, and she had her husband had run off. He was, I guess, now 40, maybe 42, had run off with their best friends, you know, the wife of the best friend. They went to the lake together and hung out together, and she was 21. And she approached that young lady and said, I thought you was my best friend in the whole world. You know what she told her, Miss Dollar? She said, surely you didn't think I was hanging out with you to be your friend. I wanted him all alone.
Yeah.
Hey, man!
Yeah.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? You be careful who you let around your spouse, for if you're not careful, there'll be the snake in the grass that's out to ruin your home, your marriage, and your family.
Amen.
Chalk it up as misconduct. The son conceived, the soldier deceived, the sentence received. David had signed the death warrant in verses 14 down through 24 of Uriah. He's going to die. He's put him out in the front of the battle with the heat of the battle to make sure if anybody dies, make sure Uriah dies. Boy, he ain't done a thing wrong. You ever wonder why bad things happen to good people? You usually got friends like David. Amen. Is everybody okay tonight? What I'm trying to say is the misconduct that you put in your life, it may cost somebody else their life. It may cost somebody their marriage. It may cost you your children. You may not be ready for the outcome when you're trying to cover and conceal your sin of what is in store in your life. You hear me in what I'm saying? Hear me in what I'm saying. It's greater punishment than one can bear. Listen now. When Cain killed Abel, it was not the fact that he killed Abel that it was so great. Ah, but he left the presence of the Lord. And when you leave the presence of the God of Israel, the punishment was greater than Cain can bear. You can't handle it. You'll never live it down. You'll never live it down. Amen. Chapter 11, verse 25 down through 27, we find here now, little Miss Bathsheba, verse 26, when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. When the mourning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife. Bear him a son, but the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Boy, I'm just mourning according to Jewish tradition. They mourn 7 days, at least 4 days. But usually the whole mourning lasts about 7 days. Took her a whole week to get over him, didn't it? Huh? I'm thinking she might have got what she wanted, but she lost what she had. Notice here the sorrow perceived. It's pictured as if she's really sorrowful. Hear me in what I'm about to say. If you write down little faults, you need to write this down. God gave me a good one yesterday. Write this down. Remorse, regardless of how great, is not repentance. Do you hear me? Remorse. She's mourning. Oh, she feels bad. Remorse, regardless of how great, is not repentance. You know how many people I've seen at the altar remorseful? You know how many people I've seen come to an altar broken down and remorseful about what they've done? I can think of some, and I don't reveal a lot of truths about what's going on here, but I've seen some right here in Bible Truth Baptist Church in recent days on the altar remorseful. I mean, absolutely, Brother Farrington. I mean, hearts ripped out, thrown down on the altar, upset about their life, upset about what they've been doing, upset about the weight of the sin that they are carrying around. Falling back and backsliding on God. Absolutely remorseful. I mean, hate the guilt that they're carrying from that sin. Bless your heart, unless you repent of it, it ain't going away. Amen. You hear me in this. Repentance means one has to turn. Amen. There'll be absolutely no forgiveness without forsaking. You cry crocodile tears. You can tell God how awful you are. You can tell God how sorry you are. But unless you repent of that sin, you hear me now, God still hasn't forgiven you. You'll carry your death. You'll grow bitter, backslide, and cold on God. Hey, you'll never live it down. At this time, I see no part in the life of David or Bathsheba. They think they've got away with murder. They think they've got away with adultery. They think they've hid it from God. They hid it from everybody around them, everybody in the palace. David's going on with his married life. She acts like she's upset for a week, gets over it, climbs back into bed with David, and acts like everything's okay. God help us. You know what's wrong with the church? We may be full of remorse for what we've done, but we won't repent from what we've done. We won't quit doing it. We won't turn from it. We won't give it to God. We won't seek the face of God for forgiveness. And we can't live it down. You can't live it down. You'll never live it down just on remorse. Amen. You absolutely will never live it down just on remorse, regardless of how great the remorse is, because you'll still have to repent. I understand that godly sorrow worketh repentance. I understand that. This little thing about I feel bad about what I've done. Anybody that's a child of God, hear me at this. If you don't feel bad when you sin, you're not a child of God. Amen. Y'all, is everybody with me? If you're a child of God, when you sin, you ought to feel bad. There ought to be remorse. Hey, but the only way
you'll ever find forgiveness in the arms of God is if you repent of that sin. And repentance is the desire to turn from it and not fall back in it, not stay in it. Come out from it and leave it alone.
By the way, without repentance, nobody's saved. I'm amazed how many people got saved and never repented of their sin. Oh, now you're preaching works. No, I ain't preaching works. I'm preaching Bible. I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness, but His long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. You'll have to forsake the sin. I'm not saying you're sinless perfection. God help, David was called perfect even in this sin. Somebody say amen. But there was a desire to leave the sin, turn from the sin, and turn to a loving God.
Amen.
Remorse, regardless of how great it is not repentance. Amen. Number two, we've seen his misconduct. We've seen the mistake, number one. Number 3-9, chapter number 12, notice here the message. The Lord sent Nathan unto David, came unto him and said to him, two men, one city, one rich, and another poor. The rich man had many exceeding flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing. Said, one little ewe lamb which he bought and nursed it up. Grew up together with him, with his children, did his own meat and drank his own cup, laying his bosom was unto him as a daughter. Came to travel unto the rich man, and spared to take his own flock and his own herd, dressed for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but he took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. He said, Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that done this thing shall surely die. He shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing, because he had no pity. And what's the message here? And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I have anointed thee king over Israel, and I deliver thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thy master's house, thy master's wives in thy bosom. Gave the house of Israel Judah. If that had not been too little, I would have moreover given unto thee such and such things. Watch him now. In the message, let me say, according to verse 1, it's sent by the Lord. Yeah. This is a message from God. You may not like the way I'm preaching. In fact, it probably ain't how I'm preaching, it's probably what I'm preaching. I start preaching on misconduct, that covers a multitude of sin. Amen. But it's a message from the Lord. I tried to get out of it. I mean, when I get one like this, I'm trying, Brother James, just say, well, there's got to be something else, God. I mean, don't they need to be here about how you died on the cross? Yeah. Yeah. Sister Lou, it's easier to preach on hell sometime in his message like this. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to come in, I've got 77 people here this morning, 77 people, and probably 75 of them say, you know, I preach on hell. Amen. And everybody got to say, boy, you really stirred us up, preacher. I got family going to hell. Now I'm going to tell them about Jesus by in the morning. They forgot about it. When we start talking about making mistakes inside the walk of the believer, we start talking about the misconduct of those that should be faithful. Listen, friend, you're not above falling into sin. Hey, while you may be perfect in Christ, you're not perfect. Hey, man, there can be a little Bathsheba outside your window. God help these days, Bathsheba will knock on your door and say, can I come in? Hey, man! We live in a day of illicit sexual immorality and seductiveness. Hey, man, where women throw themselves at men. Men throw themselves at men and women throw themselves at women. We live in an ungodly, wicked, vile generation. We live in a day when people have been turned over their vile affections.
We live in a time when people are reprobate of God concerning the truth. They're capable of any sin. And Christians are not alone. The fact is they are after us to ruin our homes, our lives, our testimonies. The devil's coming to us from every angle to destroy the name of the living God. Amen. Every morning I wake up, another state's making an amendment to allow same-sex marriage. Every morning I wake up, first thing I read after I read some Bible, I have to hear about another bunch of heathens that's allowing same-sex marriage. They don't care what the people think. They consider it's not a people's vote. It's up to the Senate themselves. What kind of sodomites have we got at the White House? What kind of sodomites we got at Capitol Hill? God help us, friend. Amen. Is everybody that got voted in the last election a sodomite? Somebody say amen. Help me right here. Amen. They've declared it's not a people's vote. They make the mind up for the people. I believe I ought to make my own mind up. Say amen. Amen. And here, it is a message from the Lord. Well, I just don't believe God wanted us to hear all that. We don't really give a rip what you think He wanted to hear. These churches all over America with a bunch of dead preachers in the pulpit, they'll tell you exactly what you want to hear every week. We need a voice of God. We need God to raise up another generation of preachers. God help, I ain't that young anymore. We need, hey man, I mean, there ought to be men half my age that can flat preach. Amen. We need God to raise up and call some men and give them a backbone of steel. Put a voice of God down in their soul and let them preach us, saith the Lord. Amen. They sent by the Lord. This message is sent by God. The man of God gives an illustration here over a lamb, over a sheep, one little ewe lamb. That this poor man had, that he nursed it himself, even drank from his own cup. It was as if it was his own daughter. Can you imagine the love and the relationship that this little lamb had with that family? Then there's this rich man's got all kinds of herds and all kinds of flock. He's going to cook a dinner and he takes that, steals that one little man's lamb. Can I say here the message is shadowed by the lamb? I like that, don't you? Oh yeah, it's sent by the Lord, but it's shattered by the Lamb. And I say there's been several lambs down through the eons of time. Oh, that died to pay an atonement for sin. Oh, but it was only for a short season. For year after year, the high priest would have to go back into the holies of holies. But thank God one day one little lamb. I say, blessed be the God of Israel. One day, one lamb. Oh, this lamb's a shadow of a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God, one lamb paid it all. There's nothing more important than the message John proclaimed, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. It's shattered by the Lamb. This message is seen by the lasciviousness. Verses 5 and 6. Down through 7, he begins to proclaim that thou art the man. David's anger in verse 5 was kindled against the man. Boy, if you can ever just get mad at yourself. He places judgment on the man. Said, whoever done this thing shall surely die. Huh? Can I say still at this point, him and Bathsheba's just fine. No pity, it said in verse number 6. Little remorse. Took me a week to get over my husband. Some women get over their husband in about 5 minutes. I hope not y'all, but you know what I'm saying. Some men get over their wife that fast too. God help us.
Can I say, vow marriage ought to be forever? What pay man? Amen. You find the right one, stay with them, bless God. I know you can't always help what you wind up with. Amen. So, I heard a story one time about this lady. She went to the bank and said, I need $2,500 loan. I said, what are you doing? So I'm doing some home improvement. They said, what you going to do? So I'm going to get my husband, so he'll leave. Amen. Amen. Find the right one out of the gate. Y'all get that tomorrow. It's a joke. Sin of lasciviousness. It's seen by lasciviousness. Wicked, vile, sexual impurities, and prey on illicit sexual natures. He looked at her and said, I'm going to have her. God help us. There's the mistake, the misconduct, the message. Let me give you number four, and then we'll have 2 points later. How's that? Then number four, there's the mandate. He begins to place judgment, saying, this man shall die. In the mandate, there is the despicable after such gifts. I mentioned the thought in verse number 8 that God said to him, I would have moreover given unto thee such and such things. What he was saying is, David, I gave you it all. And if you're sitting here tonight under the sound of my voice, God has given you everything. If you're saved tonight, God has made you heir and joint heir with Christ. If you're lost, He's offering it to you. All you have to do is come. Be saved. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know if it can get any better than that. He said, I'll give you such and such things. He said, you just named it. It'd been yours. If it'd been too little, David, I'd have gave you anything you wanted. He's despicable after such gifts. Let me say, he's despicable over the law. Verse number 9, wherefore thou hast despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight. God's given us everything. And if we're not careful, we'll still despise the commandment or the law of God. Huh? Y'all agree with that? Say amen. Verse 11, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house. I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in his sight. I'm looking for a verse. Verse 10, now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house because thou hast despised me. He's despicable, man. He's despised the law, and he's literally, utterly despised the Lord. He said, David, you despise me. Now, if a man after God's own heart can do that, I reckon it'd be possible that a bunch of you in here with your halos and wings, y'all probably capable of that too. Amen. I know why some of you wear overcoats, hide your wings. It's despicable after such things. Let me say there's the danger around the sinner's guilt. The danger around the sinner's guilt. Now therefore, verse 10, now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house. That's to say, you'll never live it down. You're never. He didn't say, in a few months you'll get over this, David. He said, the sword's never going to depart from your house. Huh? Because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite, be thy wife. There's the danger of the sword around the house at all the time. Let me give you this, and I'm done. I'm hot. There's the death accompanying the sentence given. For time's sake, just watch your Bible. Check where we are, verse 14. Howbeit, because this day. I'm going to do this, 13. And David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Ha ha! Hallelujah.
Amen.
Not just remorse. We hear we're getting a confession and a repentance. And Nathan said to David, Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born of thee shall surely die. Can you live that down? Can you live it down? I don't know if I can live that down. Verse 18, it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. Is everybody listening? It's bigger than you. Consequences are greater than you're willing to face. So we see the love child dies. Chapter number 13, just for the record, Amnon rapes his half-sister Tamar. And the half-brother, Tamar's whole brother Absalom, gets really ticked off about it and has him killed. David's son Amnon dies in chapter 13, verse 28-29. In chapter 18, verses 9 through 15, you'll find where Absalom's killed. We got three sons dead and a daughter raped. I don't know, you tell me, David. Did you live it down? Shortly after his death, shortly after chapter 1 of 1 Kings, as the king passes on and they give the kingdom to Solomon, you'll find in chapter 2, verse 24 and 25, Adonijah is killed. Even after David's gone, the sword still not departed from his house. Boy, wouldn't have been a good legacy. The legacy, Brother Arrington, he said, thy kingdom shall be established forever. Boy, and Solomon had that kingdom established. But in the establishment of that kingdom is also a sword shall never depart from your house. In an eternal kingdom, there will always be a sword. What if you could live that down? Is that mandate a little bit greater than you can handle? I think real careful about my mistakes. I think real careful about my conduct. I think, look up here, I think real careful about this message. Because the mandate itself might be greater than you can handle. You'll never live it down. It's eternal. God has gave us eternal security. Y'all follow me? Let's make the spiritual application. God's given us eternal security. I've heard people say, well, I'm going to heaven no matter what. Fine, what if your youngin' goes to hell because it got killed before it got saved because of the judgment on your house and your life? I heard coming in tonight that somebody died about last week sometime that had been in this church that died and went to hell. I mean, they had a chance. I mean, a young person, they died about a week ago. They've been in this church. They've heard the gospel preached at least one time, you know, and it's just not for them. Well, I wonder what they think right now. I wasn't here. I don't remember if you preached or you preached. But one of y'all preached the gospel that night, and now they're in hell. And, I mean, unless something happened in the last few days, they got saved. Which I've not heard of that. You know, they hadn't repented of their sin, and they were still in their sin, so... That leads me to believe they were lost. Are you following me? I'm not trying to be mean.
Amen.
But when they lift up their eyes in hell, you reckon they can live with it now? What about the one who brought them here that is saved, that's names on the roll here, that just quit and had to take a little time off? They didn't come back, so what was the chance of them ever coming back?
They probably ain't even thought about it. But hey, there's a big day coming. We'll stand before the greatest mandated judgment of all times. Those that are dead in sin and trespasses, that hell brings forth to the great white throne. Those of us that have let them die and go to hell, their blood will be applied to our hands. I don't reckon you'll ever live that down. Better thank God after that great white throne judgment, Brother Jason, God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. Up here. Don't you think they're not crying in heaven? Amen. Oh, we're going to heaven. Well, there's no sorrow. There's a lot of sorrow in heaven. Right now, there's a lot of sorrow at the great white throne judgment. Thank God one day, then there'll be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more death. But until then, imagine the heartbreak at the great white throne. When those we could have helped be in, get in, slipped off into hell, their blood supply in our hands. Pretty strong mandate. I don't know how that works, Brother Roy. Brother Reuben, I don't know what he's going to do. But I imagine in the midst of wiping the tears out of our eyes, he's going to have to wipe the memory of us watching our loved ones slipped off into a damnable lake of fire to be tormented day and night with the false prophet and the beast and the devil. Hello. Hey, man. Yeah, I used to go to Bible Truth Baptist Church. Took some of my family with me. I got out. Now they're in hell. Boy, what a testimony.
Yeah.
Say this, friend. You'll never leave that down.
That's right.
It's eternal. It's a kingdom established forever.
Yeah.
But the sword never departed from the house. There's a sword that devours. This is the sword right here.
Right. Amen.
Amen. And boy, it's what makes the difference between heaven and hell.
Right.
So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. We need the Word of God. I had somebody text me today, said, Preacher, I feel so lost. I said, do you feel lost, capital lost, or do you just feel lost without the church? And they sent back both. Don't think you can just get out and just go through your merry little life and everything's going to be okay. One day you'll wake up and them mistakes will be more than you can bear. And I'll let you know you can't live it down. And your name's always marred and mud. Boy, you wish you'd go back and change all that. Boy, I just give them a little Bible. Told them if they need to be saved, give them a plan of salvation on the phone. But you know what, Brother Robert? I can't help them when they're gone.
That's right.
Sister Margaret, it don't take about three words, four words, five words, me say, you listen to me preach 3-4 years and love me to death. I can say 3 or 4 words wrong in your little pea patch, and they're gone. Everybody likes a message until the message hits home. Message is this tonight, and hear me well. If you're not careful, you'll cross a line with God that you'll never live down. You'll never live it down. Let's stand to our feet, heads are bowed, eyes closed.